able to represent that T on your helmet.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, back in studio, absolutely exploding Brandon's headphones here to my left.
Yeah, it was a little loud.
Yeah.
Why are your headphones so loud?
They weren't. I was just expecting a normal intro this morning, and Rick, I mean, it's fine. I like the energy.
I guess I had a whole previous show of just pent-up energy, and I brought it out right there in that first word. Apologies.
I mean, I like the energy. I like it.
All right. Well, hey, back here in studio, beautiful Monday morning outside. Brandon Orrick to my left, Charlie Collier to my right, Chance Collins. We are getting connected with him as we speak right now. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good to hear.
How are you?
Well, yeah, how are you?
Man, I'm exhausted, fellas.
Long weekend.
Long weekend. I am burnt to a crisp.
Mm. Maybe not the right word to use.
Sunburnt, man.
Oh.
Look at this.
Ooh,
peeling everywhere. And that's just even a little bit.
You got to use the lotion. You got to moisturize. You got to get the aloe.
Brandon, do you not aloe. Think I'm using the aloe?
You got to use some yogurt.
Yogurt?
Yogurt?
Yeah, no. If you use like just Greek yogurt, it'll work exceptionally to take care of sunburn.
Have you tried this yourself?
Well, I don't really burn, but a couple years back on a cruise, my brother's friend burned really bad, and we didn't have aloe. We covered him in some yogurt, and it worked really, really well.
It does say here that recent studies have found that topical application of, it says to soothe a sunburn at home with Greek yogurt, you can apply plain organic Greek yogurt to the face and body as a mask and rinse after 15 minutes. Look at that.
Hmm. Think it would still work with flavors?
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe.
But I don't know. Maybe. But it was a long weekend. It was a good weekend. We thank you for the shout out on Friday. We were all we were listening to the beginning of the show. Had that fun with that.
Just
Lucas
the beginning.
Panzica. What?
Just the beginning.
I mean, look.
Wow.
We strolled down to the beach afterwards, and I took a nap on the beach quickly after. So
hey, there's a nap.
Hey. There's also a podcast, and I did listen to the podcast, and I heard Lucas Panzica on the show. He was great. Was it good having him back in studio?
Yeah. Always good to see Lucas. Catch up with Lucas.
That is tremendous. You was first time meeting Lucas, right?
Yeah. I've heard Dr. Swan say his name probably 30 to 40 times, but
that's
it's great
true.
To finally meet him.
That's true. He did get brought up a lot in the classes that I was in as well. Do we have Chance connected?
Speaking of the devil, he's calling right now.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Chancellor, can you hear us today? Can you hear us loud and clear?
Maybe not.
Well,
he's on. Oh, I know the problem.
Oh, all right. Well, Brandon is fixing that as we speak. But here's a couple of things. yep. It probably would be nice to plug that part in. Let's see. Chancellor, good morning. How are you? Can you hear us?
I am feeling good and feeling great.
Chance! Oh, I missed you.
Charlie, don't do it. Don't do it.
That's all. I'm just excited to hear your voice.
I thought there was something else coming.
Nope.
Well, Rick, I'm glad you had a good time. I did. Charlie's right, though. I heard him talking about yogurt. I read that on somebody's Facebook post during the quarantine stuff because they couldn't find aloe or something like that, so they had to use yogurt.
Wow. I can't believe Chance just agreed with me on something.
I mean, it was certainly proven right. So yeah. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the whole yogurt thing because, you know, I just got some lotion instead. But, hey, if you ever need it, there it is. You can use yogurt.
And I'd like to say, Charlie, I give you your props. I agree with you when I should. It's just when you, like, stand for the weirdest things. That's when I'm like, hell no.
Fair enough. Can't win them all.
Certainly. So, guys, we got a bunch on the menu today, and we got some good stuff from the sports world. We got some good stuff from around the world as well. But one of the big things that I did want to talk about today was something I had seen on Friday that a lot of the shows were talking about. I saw Talk Sports talk about this. Saw some of the shows after. And it was one of the predictions about Tennessee's season. So I certainly want to get to that a little bit later into the show. What else? Oh, a Tennessee player was arrested over the weekend in Florida. So we will give you all the information on that. A prominent player on Tennessee's offense. And then a couple more things along the way. So, man. Oh, as well as that, MLB. There was an offer sent by the Major League Baseball Players Association sent to the league about their basically counteroffer to get the season started back playing. We'll give you all the information on that. But, Brandon, even that right now, it's a crazy thing because even the proposal sent by the Players Association, the early word on it is that the league is not going to give it much thought. Like, it seems like a proposal to get to the next proposal.
Great.
Which is weird.
That's just great.
I know.
Why can't we just have... Why do they have to, like, okay, let's send you an offer. Then why can't they just come together, talk, and then just come up with an idea and then say, okay, that's where we're going?
It feels like we've spent the better part of May just sending ridiculous proposals back and forth to get to the next proposal. But they just keep going in opposite directions.
Hopefully June will lead to resolution.
Yeah, it seems like every next proposal just has something else that makes the other side more mad. You know, they're like, you can get to the third proposal in, but then they're like, oh, but wait, 114 games? Oh, no, 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 no. We never talked about 114 games. We've already talked about the health, and we've already talked about the salaries, but now the game's coming up. So now we need another proposal to fix that part.
Like, the first couple proposals, actually not that bad. Like, you think, okay, from there, they're going to come together, like, we're really close. And then they're just working backwards. They just keep making, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, so
June 1st, calling it now. It's about to be a great month.
It's a big prediction. That's a big prediction.
This is where 2020 makes its turn.
That is June 1st. That is an optimist prediction, if I've ever heard one right there. But hey, that's the most we can hope for. 865-546-8200. If you want to call into the show today, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to hear whatever you got going on around the world. So, with that being said, take a quick commercial break right here. Come back on the other side and then see what we can get into for the day. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Had a band and we tried real hard. Back here on The Blitz, 10:17 a.m., Rick Butler, Charlie Collier, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orr hanging out along with you as we are just starting out the show here on a Monday morning. Lots of sunshine outside. Feeling good. Feeling good. So, lead story here today, gentlemen. Wanted to bring up something from the NBA over the weekend and something that I really saw that was cool from them. So, I'm just going to read here from this ESPN article because I think it does a good job of explaining what it is. So it says, in describing recent events of, quote, police brutality, racial profiling, and weaponizing of racism, the National Basketball Coaches Association has established a committee on racial injustice and reform to pursue solutions within NBA cities. So here are the coaches involved in that committee. It is Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Lloyd Pierce, David Fizdale, Stan Van Gundy, J.B. Bickerstaff, and Quinn Snyder. So you got a bunch of coaches there. And really, these are huge names around the league. So it says the NBA Coach Association has created a committee that will help NBA cities create change against racial discrimination and police brutality. And, man, the sports world, I think this is just one of the ways that it reached out this weekend. And I think the NBA did a good job. And this is something really cool that the NBA is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea for the NBA to come out and kind of at least establish a front. And I saw where Tennessee kind of released a joint statement.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, the Tennessee one was great, and I'm trying to find that one as well. I had that one pulled up here a second ago. Here it is. So this is just the beginning of the unified statement from Tennessee Athletics leadership. Tennessee Athletics has issued the following statement from Director of Athletics Phil Fulmer and its 15 head coaches. We hold our student athletes to very high standards, with rare expectations, With rare exceptions, our young men and women meet those standards and represent themselves, their families, their teams, and the University of Tennessee with excellence, academically, athletically, and socially. Right now, our student athletes are hurting. They navigate an emotional road of sadness, confusion, and rage. Our black student athletes carry the added burden of fear and hopelessness, an old wound torn open again by the horrifying auto-repeat playlist of viral violence in our country that seemingly will not cease. As Tennessee head coaches, we are now calling on anyone who is a fan of the Vols and Lady Vols to meet and expect a standard in our daily walk. Let us all refuse to accept our tolerance, let us all refuse to accept or tolerate the unjust treatment of our black neighbors. Let us challenge those who attempt to justify, dismiss, ignore, or explain away mistreatment of blacks or any other person of color. And that's just a little bit of the statement that Tennessee put out. So, Brandon, like you said, you saw that from the NBA, you see it from Tennessee Athletics, and really those are just a couple of some of the examples that I think the sports world responded in this weekend and in a kind of a unifying effort and calling out everyone. And I think that's bravo. The biggest thing, calling out everyone.
To the battle captain.
That's bravo.
The battle captain. You're not seeing this from a lot of prominent programs. I know that there was a prominent national reporter that called out Dabo Swinney not being out there and making a statement. I don't know if they have since. I don't know if Clemson has. And there was a couple other big-name coaches as well. I'd have to pull up his list. But I think that was – hey, and I'll be honest, I didn't expect it. Didn't expect it at all. And that's why I feel like that's a pretty solid move, and it seems sincere by the University of Tennessee, by the athletic department, by athletic director Philip Fulmer. So often – since all these things have been happening, you can't say anything because it's politics. But it's not really politics. It's just humanity. It's just right from wrong. There's no damn politics about it. I don't care that we live in the South and we have predominantly Southern listeners. We're Southern sports talk hosts. I don't care about that. This is just humanity, right and wrong. And I want to applaud Philip Fulmer for doing so.
Yeah, and I think
– excellent.
And I think, too, that the way that Tennessee came out and, I mean, even some of these other statements, they said demand action that leads to change, demand progress. Like, this was not just kind of a by-the-numbers statement. I think they came out and they said, you know, hey, we are calling on everyone, not the ones who want to be a part of this, not the ones who feel like, you know, they can do something in the short term. We need everyone to do that. And I felt like, you know, they had a powerful message of conviction in this statement that obviously Philip Fulmer and all 15 of the head coaches at Tennessee put out together in this statement.
I feel like it also shows that they're listening to the people of color, their student athletes that are people of color, that it's not just a blanketed PR move, if you understand what I'm saying, that it wasn't just,
yeah,
let's make Tennessee look good for recruits. let's make Tennessee look good for our athletes on campus right now. Like, it wasn't just a blanketed statement that we all need to do better, or we're all in this together, or all lives matter. No, it said our black student athletes, our black, you know, students are hurting. And I thought that's key. It's not just a blanketed PR move. It sounded more as we're listening, and the key word, demand, like what you said, demand.
Yeah, I really like the statement that they put out. I read it this morning, and I agree. I think it felt like it came from the heart, and like you said, Chance, not just a PR move, just for the looks of it, but I really like the statement that the university put out.
Yeah, and I think there's something to say, especially from, you know, when it can be, I mean, it's titled as a unified statement, right? And it is there from Director of Athletics Philip Fulmer and its 15 head coaches. And at the end of it, it goes through and it names every single one. And to me, what that tells me is that, you know, hey, Tennessee is ready for change. Because I even remember, you know, protests happening on Tennessee's campus within the year, right? Within the last 365 days, especially when school is going on there. This has not been something new for Tennessee at all. So I think this is really a powerful message from everybody involved, and especially with Tennessee Athletics, right? Because Tennessee Athletics, they really do run so much of this school, and they have so much more power than maybe just, you know, certain fields or maybe even other groups associated with the university. I think the athletics program has so much power, and the way that those spoke, I thought that was great. And that was meaningful to me to see that, yeah, like exactly what you said, Chance, that they weren't, you know, just it wasn't just a move to say, you know, everyone and everyone's life matters. But no, it was saying, hey, we see what you guys are saying, and we see what's going on. And that is what we are going to directly address with our fans and with our supporters.
And here's the thing, like what people, I think, sometimes miss, it's not anybody really knows like what all the answers are supposed to be here. But most people are like, you know, just understand, listen to me, have those tough conversations that need to be had. And I think that's Tennessee's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So this conversation started out really by talking about the NBA Coaches Association forming this group. Chance, what do you think about some of the names that they put on this? I mean, you got current coaches, you got guys who have been in the league previously, like David Fizdale, who's not with the team anymore. I mean, I think this is a great group of guys to at least, you know, be able to put to the public and say, hey, we got a lot of guys right now working on, you know, creating programs within the NBA and programs for these cities that we do have a direct impact in. For instance, like the Hawks coach, right? Lloyd Pierce. But then also someone like Fizdale, right, who isn't with the team right now and who can affect other communities through that.
Also, don't forget Stan Van Gundy, who no longer is a coach, longtime coach of the Magic and the Heat, and then also did coach somewhere else. Can't think of. But anyways, besides that point, but Van Gundy, also somebody who's not actively coaching. What they went out and did was got a lot of veteran voices too, and a lot of guys that I already know because I've followed a lot of these guys' careers and where they speak. A lot of guys who are kind of heavy in activism at the same time, or guys who are at least not afraid to speak out and have a clear voice and always have on this. Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, David Fizdale, like I said, Stan Van Gundy, and then you throw in a Quinn Snyder. So yeah, I think those are good names.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great move, and you know, I hope and I think we will see other leagues follow suit as well. And that would be obviously great if they did.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise really that the NBA was the first. The NBA is kind of the most kind of progressive and ahead of the curve league. They seem to be on top of things. So no surprise really that the NBA was kind of the first one to kind of get out ahead of this.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think when you do see these other leagues, and even Chance, to what you were saying with other schools, right, and how schools were going to approach this, man, I think that other schools and other leagues need to approach this in a similar way to what Tennessee did, right? And what Tennessee is demanding out of their supporters, and the exact things that they're going to say. I just want to read the last paragraph of Tennessee's statement. Vol Nation, let's rise to the challenge to meet a new standard. If you're going to support our black student athletes when they compete, please have the courage to support them and their families in their daily pursuit of peace, happiness, and equity. I think that is so important. That comes
That's
directly.
A powerful statement.
It is. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Rick.
And that's the conviction that everybody needs to be speaking with. And that's the conviction that I think that specifically needs to be called out. If you're going to support, man, the boys in orange this fall, right, when they're scoring checkerboard touchdowns, then let's support each other in this life, and let's support these black student athletes in that. Love the way that Tennessee did that. I think that everybody needs to speak with that kind of conviction who does make a public statement in that way.
Very powerful words from the athletic department. Looking at you, Jimbo Fisher, Mike Gundy, Lincoln Riley, Nick Saban, Dabo. Those are some of the big names that I forgot that Clarence Hill, who is the beat reporter for the Cowboys, talked about. But Tennessee's not in that light. And although it wasn't a PR move by Tennessee, I hope to hell that other players look around and say Tennessee stands up for the right things. And that's why I want to go play for the Big Orange.
Absolutely. And I hope that Tennessee continues to as well. And I think we got the right leadership to do so. So, with that being said, hey, we'll take a quick commercial break right now. Come back on the other side and see what else we can get into for the rest of the day. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 10:33 a.m. Rick, Brandon, Charlie, Chance hanging out with you as we are making our way through the first hour of the show today. And we'll go right over the phone lines to start off this next segment. And we'll get a call from Roberto. Hey, good morning, Roberto. Welcome into The Blitz today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you've enjoyed your time off. And kind of a somber and serious Monday. To kind of lighten the mood, you know, I used to call you guys the freshman squad because you were so young and green. But you guys, you have moved up to SEC-level contributors, and I'm proud of you boys. For whatever that's worth.
Hey,
and
well,
that's not condescending at all.
It's worth a lot.
Well, we do appreciate that.
Appreciate it, Roberto.
We really do.
You know, guys, in watching what's happening across our country this weekend, first of all, I just want to take a second and say to Chance, you know, man, we see you, we hear you. I'm really saddened by what our black and brown friends go through. It's terrible. And it's the state of our...
Thank you for saying that.
You know, it's not the state of all of us. You know, Chance, you and I, frankly, we disagree probably on a lot of things, both politically and of the world. You know, me as a Caucasian male and you as an African-American male, we believe that, you know, how to get there may be different. But I just want to say again, no matter how we get there, I want to get there for you guys.
Like, hey, I appreciate that. And like what you're saying, it's I just want to see the difficult conversations happen. I just want to see the nuanced conversations. I want to see, like what you said, like, there. I'm glad you said that because that's what brown people of color, that's what we need. Like, it's we can speak about what we know all day, but we do need allies to step up and help us out so the message speaks more in volumes and we create that unity. Like, that's where the unity comes into play.
You know, and if I may on that subject, watching the protests and the rioters, and they are two distinctly different things.
Thank you.
And
for
I think
saying
you would
that as well. Two distinctly different things.
Memphis, of all towns, you would think that possibly wouldn't be doing it right. And as a landowner in Memphis, I feel that I can say this. I would have never thought that my place there would have been, if you will, my second home would have been the ones that are doing it the right way. I thought there would have been a lot more rioting and protesting and looting. They're not. or excuse me, rioting and looting, not protesting. Again, there's two different things. But I would have thought they wouldn't, but they're doing it the right way, and they're doing it the respectful way of all people. You know, they're not, and I say this just from what I see and hear, they're not attacking the police. They're befriending the police. They're trying to build that community so that the police understand and so on and so forth. This is about seeing each other, you know, and you got the guy going around hugging police officers, African-American male going around hugging police officers. I think that is amazing, and that's what should be put out front. Love is the only way to end this crap.
Yeah,
right?
I love that.
And love and respect.
Kid. Are you talking about the kid with the poster that free hugs? That was a very powerful.
Yeah, image. I guess so. Yeah. Well, there's another gentleman who had a T-shirt on with free hugs, but if that's the same guy, then yeah. But either way, I'm just saying the way to end this is through love, not hate, not political discourse. It starts with me and you guys. And it works its way up, not the opposite, right?
It's a great way to put it. I think that's a really, really great way to put it. Like, it starts with just the people here on the ground.
Yeah, it's right? A grassroots.
Yeah.
I mean, love has the ability to conquer anything. Love is more powerful than any other emotion, anything.
Right. And
what, Charlie? I love all you guys, Charles.
Hey, I love you, Chance. And everyone listening out there, I love all of you.
And guys, you know, to divert back into a little bit more normality and talking about sports, I love what Tennessee did. And for me, hearing Philip Fulmer release a statement like that, and the coaches at large, I don't think it was a political, and I'm air quoting, political play there. It wasn't to get kids to want to come to UT. I really believe it was from the heart, because those folks, you know, I'm a Caucasian male, and I deal with, I don't know, 10% of my interaction or less are with people of color, okay? Because I live in Knoxville. I actually live in Maribel, but it's like I live and work in the greater Knoxville area, so I'm not going to have that much interaction. And I would honestly say I've never had a negative interaction on either side with a person of color, because, you know, people say I don't see color. That's bullcrap. Everyone sees color. It's about, when you see that color, what do you do in your heart? What does that mean to you? And when I see a person of color, like Chance, I saw you, seven months ago in Alcoa, right? And we had a great interaction, right? And and it's because I care. And I'm not self-aggrandizing here. It's what do you do when you see somebody that doesn't look like those videos of, you know, I'm a black man, I'm a proud black man, I'm going around Facebook. Those get me every time, because that's what we should be doing. We should not be fearing each other, both sides. We should not be fearing each other. We should be trying to build each other up. That's the only way we're going to drag ourselves out of this crap and this mess. It's love. And I'm sorry I didn't mean to take up all my time not talking about sports, but with UT doing what they did and the NBA doing what they did, I think it's great. I do think that setting up something like that in the communities that are predominantly, especially the ones that are predominantly white, with a board of African American and white folks that are allies, as Chance called them, to govern that. And guys, the cop that did that stuff up in Minnesota, and the ones that stood by, I'm not a judge and jury here, but that is unacceptable. Is not even the word. I'm sorry.
Inhumane.
Oh, it's definitely inhumane. But it's beyond that. I don't sit on a seat of judgment, and I can't say what they ought to do to those guys, but they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, because what they did was murder. Over a guy who allegedly wrote fraudulent checks. Is that not the truth? I mean, excessive use of force against a man who is not excessively using force against them is a ridiculous thing to do. I say ridiculous, it's inhumane. And they should be prosecuted full extent of law. And it's taken me a long time to walk to a place where I'm comfortable putting this out and talking to people about it, because I don't know how other people will react. So I'm talking right to Chance. And you know, the truth is, I'm just really sorry that people of color have to go through a daily basis worried about their own health and well-being, and I know I don't, and it's just not fair, and I'm really, really sorry.
guys. I really hope you have a good day. I will easily make some maybe a question about sports to hear you guys talk about some, but that Tennessee right now is a place that fosters healthy relationships in sports and builds that up with their fans and their, you know, do you think it's really going to happen? What they announced via email today or yesterday, do you think that's really going to take with this fan base or not? Guys, I'll leave you with that. I hope you have a great day and love y'all. Be great.
Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. Whether or not it I think a large majority of the fan base will see that the statement that UT put out, and it's obviously going to be well received. But I mean, I think you're completely ignorant if you think there's not at least a small portion of every single fan base in America that doesn't have some kind. I mean, you just can't ignore it as a society. And I mean, but I think for the most part, I think the fan base is going to rally around that. And I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, Rick. I think it's, and not to say that past leadership wouldn't have put out just as good of a message, but it there's something different when you've got people that are from Tennessee. What was that, Chance?
I was going to say people that are from the community as well.
People that are from Tennessee, Philip Fulmer, and even the president, Randy Boyd, who's from here in Knoxville. I mean, you've got people that are from the community that are putting out these statements. And like I said, it's not to say that if it had been in the past with Dave Hart or Jimmy Cheek or whoever, that it wouldn't have been just as – that they wouldn't have said the same thing. But to me, it feels a little different, and it hits closer to home, and
yeah,
when it's people that are in your community.
Has a way of doing that. Like, sports has a way of,
it does,
making people, I mean, it's the mob effect, but sports like kind of has a way of making people like look with inside themselves. And if it takes Philip Fulmer and the University of Tennessee to respond a certain way, maybe some of those Vol for Lifers, like, they start to examine their own selves, and they start to examine, I said it for years, and kind of what, you know, what Philip Fulmer is saying too, and kind of what Roberto is saying too, like what Rick said, if you're gonna, I guess he was quoting Fulmer though, but if you're gonna root for the guys on Saturday, it's like, you know, you got to understand their plights too when other things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're more than an athlete; they have feelings too.
Yeah, and you know, and I'll be totally honest. I think there's really power to understanding and at least being so much more opening to somebody who is speaking, who you do have faith in already. I will be totally honest right now. Like, the most my eyes have been opened was when Chance, when you spoke on this the very first time last week, because you are such a dear friend of mine. And that's what I think. Like, so if you, you know, if you are in that light for me, then I hope that, you know, somebody who does look up to something like Tennessee Athletics, or maybe you have somebody who has been following Kelly Harper since she was a player and now she's a head coach, or things like that, and just the power that those people have speaking, or just power that, you know, people who you really respect in your life, when they speak and you listen, your eyes can be opened, even if you think they were already opened. And I have my own example of that, Chance, when you were talking last week.
Yeah, and like what Roberto said, he's right. I'd have never thought he would have came on here and said this. I'm gonna be completely honest. Like, I need to put that. I can't lie. Roberto, I never would have thought you would have came on here and said what you just said, but I appreciate that. And I appreciate what he said about seeing color. So many people get scared about the fact that you see color. But it's not about seeing color. And we all see color, brown, black, white. Like, we see that. But it's about how you feel when you see that other person of color. That's where you gotta really examine yourself. And it takes what Rick's saying, what Roberto's saying, like, you know, being an ally. It takes, if you don't know, don't be scared of, I'm air quoting though nobody can see me, of the white guilt. Ask your friends if they're hurting, your friends who are people of color. Ask them how you can be better. Have those those conversations to better yourself if you think that, hey, maybe I need to examine myself. Or maybe you don't, and maybe you think that you're doing it right, and you just want to know, hey, are you hurting, man? You know, is there anything I can do? Don't let your guilt keep you silent. That so many people get scared because they don't want to be labeled as a racist to talk about certain things. Don't let that be the obstacle. Have those conversations. Let your friends know you care, of all races.
Yeah.
But at least make an attempt.
And when the Tennessee coaches and when the Tennessee Athletic Department come together and they say demand action that leads to change, to me, that's why we spend an hour talking about, I mean, that's why we spend our first hour talking about this today, right? Because the Tennessee, I mean, people are calling out and demanding, you know, that we do call out on these things. So that's why we talk about it today, because we have to, because it is that important. So with that being said, though, we still got to take commercial breaks, though. We still got to get these advertisers on the air. So we'll take this break right now, come back on the other side, and then see what we can do to close out this first hour of the show today. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
How dare people purpose to separate looting and peaceful protesters? They are one in the same because they didn't create this situation.
No, that, I mean, that's powerful too. I mean, I do think the NFL, they're forever going to be kind of last on these situations. The NFL, they care about the PR. We know this. They care about the money that's brought in and how much money that they make. And Kaepernick did try. I mean, he did. I've said that before, too. I mean, he tried to get a message out, and it fell on deaf ears in the organization he was in. And about the conversation, I just still think we got to have these conversations, because that is what – that's what's going to make things not better, but progress. Because who knows if things will ever get better. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of years trying to get back. Well, but things can progress.
And I think that when you look at two things like the NFL statement, to me, right, to me, when I look at the NFL statement, like what, Penny, you're exactly right. Like it doesn't call out exactly what's going on. And other things like what, you know, the Tennessee one did. The Tennessee speaks to me because it's telling me as a white male why I need to invest in these black athletes that I cheer for on the weekends, but why I need to invest in their lives outside of that. And if the NFL can't do that, then that is just outdated. Like, that's just, it's outdated and it's asinine, and it's even hard to think about. And the Kaepernick thing absolutely crossed my mind and crossed the internet this weekend. And I saw that in a completely new light. And that's just total honesty right now on the radio. I saw that in a 100% new light, man. And that speaks volumes to how horribly that situation was handled previously. And that really, I mean, that one act of a protest completely was viewed differently in my eyes this weekend. And it made my heart break for how it was handled previously. But I think that between the statements of what the NFL does and what Tennessee does, like I just, one calls me to great action and it tells me exactly what I need to do for what's hurting. And the other just does feel like a publicity move, and it's outdated.
I can't watch the NFL, but if there's any sport that is leading all other sports and purposing to listen to their players, they don't get it 100% right all the time. But look at the NBA. I stated, and still to this day, I don't believe Colin Kaepernick is going to get his job back. People are still going to continue to make excuses for why the NFL isn't going to give him his job back. And that inherently will tell me where black people have and will always stand with the NFL. And they can never get my support because I'm black every day.
That one call, I mean, Penny, you bring up a lot of
tough,
yeah, you bring up a lot of points that really, I mean, it makes all of us think, and it is powerful stuff for all of us to really sit and contemplate, man. And that's the purpose of what we're doing, right? It's to share our thoughts and to contemplate in each other's thoughts and really work towards our goal of getting where we want to go. So, man, we're doing that together, and that's the most important thing. Hour number two of the Blitz coming up next. Penny, thank you for the phone call, as always. Please call back soon. Oh, yeah.